Worldview Evangelism Counseling Class Number 7, looking at the justification of knowledge, taking a look from a bird's eye view perspective on the justification of knowledge. So the question is, when people say that's the truth, when people say it's a fact, how do we know what they're saying is the truth? And how do we know what a person says is actually factual? So the question is, let's just say I was going to point out to you that if I push the door, it closes. And by example, I push the door and it closes. I can say that's an absolute fact, that when I push the door, it closes. So from our experience, we can see that that's true. When you push the door, it clicks and it closes. But what is the justification for that? Is it simply because I experienced it? Is it simply because I saw it? Is it because by reason I push something like a door and it closes? Is my reason and my experience enough for something to be considered true and factual? So that's the question. Most people would say yes. But what we need to do as Christians is we need to push people further than this. What is your justification that your reason and your experience is valid? How can you trust your reason? How can you trust your experience? People say, well, it's just natural. It's self-evident. Well, why? And how do you know that? How do you know that what you experience is reality? How do you know that your thoughts are actually rational and they correspond to reality? You say, well, it's just obvious. Well, how do I know it's obvious? How do I know I'm not delusional? How do I know that what I'm seeing is not just an illusion? There's all sorts of factors that go into it. How do I know? How can I prove that a fact is a fact? So looking at the form, if you have it in front of you, I have a diagram on here that lists the three steps of knowledge and the three steps that people use in justifying or knowing what they know. The first one is the starting point. The second one is the method. And the third is the conclusion. Every worldview uses this process. Every worldview has a starting point. A source of ultimate authority, or what we would refer to as presupposition. This is the assumed authority. This is where everybody starts. And from the assumed authority comes the method, the lens by which we interpret, where we use reason, where we use sensory experience, where we use faith, and we use logic, or the scientific method. All of these things are used together in conjunction to form our conclusion, what we believe is truth and what we believe is factual. So what we're going to take a look at is we're going to take a look at the materialist, atheistic, or the naturalistic worldview. It's all the same thing. They're just called, go by different names. We're going to take a look at the atheistic worldview and put it through this test. And we're going to do the same thing with the Christian worldview. We're going to put it through this test. And we're going to see, how do we justify our conclusion? Point number three, or step number three. How do we justify that what we know is true and the fact is actually a fact? So starting with the atheistic worldview, how does the materialist determine what is true and what is fact? And a common answer the materialist or the atheist will say is, well, by science. Well, the problem with that answer is science can't speak. Science needs metaphysics in order to make sense out of what it examines and what it discovers. Science needs interpretation. Interpretation is based upon one's worldview. A person's interpretation is never neutral. Nobody comes to the table without having any presuppositions. Nobody comes to the table or to the experiment without any assumed authority or a starting point or presuppositions. Nobody does that. Everybody comes with an assumed authority. Everybody comes with a method of how to understand what they're looking at. Everybody has a predetermined factor on how they use their reason, how they use experience, the relevance of faith, and logic. Everybody has these tools at their arsenal, and everybody has their own method of using these tools. So when the starting point and the method come together to form the conclusion, that's based upon interpretation. Interpretation is never neutral. Interpretation is based upon the worldview the person has as they're looking at something to make sense of it. Interpretation is based upon the individual's starting point, their presupposition, and their ultimate authority. And this is what we're really going to be focusing in on, is what is the person's starting point? What do they hold to as ultimate authority? And an ultimate authority can never be challenged. It is the foundation for the whole principle. Science cannot determine an ultimate authority. Ultimate authority is immaterial. It's presupposed. It's what science is based upon. It's what reason is based upon. It's what experience is based upon. Somebody's ultimate authority. So what is the starting point? What is the ultimate authority or the presupposition of the atheist? And the answer is humanity. Either the individual themselves, a group of people, a consensus reached by a group of people and experts, or a powerful elite. Whatever form it takes, humanity is the ultimate authority for the atheistic worldview. And the question is how does the materialist account for their existence? So how does the atheist account for even existing at all? And it's based upon evolution. It's based upon material randomness, impersonality, the material world, chance, matter in motion, a cosmic accident, which is all irrational. So this is how the atheist will understand our existence and how we came to be. It's very important to understand what this consists of. Evolution is random. Evolution is impersonal. Evolution only deals with the material. We're here by chance. All it is matter in motion, irrational matter in motion, basically a cosmic accident. So based upon the ultimate authority of the atheist, which is themselves or a group of people, how does the materialist account for the existence of reason, experience, and logic? How does the atheist account for their ability to reason, to use sensory experience and logic in interpretation? So the question, looking at this deeper now, how does evolution, how does randomness, how does chance, how does matter in motion give us the ability to reason? Evolution is irrational. Everything was in chaotic order. Something that is irrational. If our origins are irrational, how do we have any sense of rationality whatsoever? Irrationality can only produce more irrationality. Irrational cannot produce rational. But yet the atheist has their reason, which they presuppose to be truthful and dependable. An atheist has experience, sensory experience, where they touch things in this material world, and they assume they can make sense out of those things. The atheist will use logic. Logic is immaterial. How does something that is material, like evolution, the evolution of matter over time, how does material produce something that's not material? How can irrational matter emotion produce immaterial laws of logic that govern everybody's process of thought? So when we're asking the atheists these questions, we're pushing them back to their ultimate authority. And once we get to their ultimate authority, we have to ask them how they account for these abilities. So how does the atheist justify the correlation between these components and how they all work together? How does the atheist justify using their reason in conjunction with using their sensory experience? Sensory experience is based upon what is tangible, what is touchable, what is visible, what can be seen, what can be held. Reason is the immaterial part of our mind. How does the immaterial part of our mind work together with the physical world that is experienced through our senses? We have the immaterial mind working with the physical senses that we have. How do we correlate those two things? We just automatically assume that what we can reason in our mind corresponds to the reality that we can touch, but we have to be able to demonstrate why that's the case. We have to be able to demonstrate that it's truthful and that it's reliable and that we are not just seeing things as a matter of illusion, that we're not delusional. What is the basis of trusting our reason, and what is the basis of trusting our experience, and how do we know we can work these two things together? If humanity is their own source of authority, how are we ever able to put any of these things to the test? All we can do if we are our own authority is take these things for granted that they're true. So we operate, or an atheist operates, by faith. No way of justifying. And you can't use, well, I'm just going to use experience and I'm just going to use scientific method. There has to be an interpretation of the scientific method. So the immaterial mind has to rationally produce a scientific experiment and come up with the results and interpret what it sees. But if we are basing all of our existence on evolution, on randomness, on the irrational matter in motion, that everything came out of chaos, how do we justify the fact that our reason and that our experience and that the logic we use is rational? If everything came from the irrational, how can we trust it? We need a source to justify this. This is where the atheistic position falls short. Being able to justify their use of reason, their use of experience, and their use of logic, being able to trust it and to justify its results. So based upon the atheist's ultimate authority, how does the atheist know they can trust their reason, their experience, and their logic? If all we are is random matter in motion, if all we are is a cosmic accident, if our thoughts are nothing more than chemicals moving around inside of our brain, how can we ever trust our thoughts? How can we ever trust our experience? How do we know it's just not the neurons in our brain telling us that we're seeing things that aren't there? Where does this concept of morality, right and wrong, ever come into play if everything is random? How does the idea of order and structure ever enter into our minds at all if we just came about by random chance? Randomness can only produce more randomness. Our minds cannot make sense of anything if it came about by random chance. Our brains cannot make sense of anything if all our brains are chemicals inside of soft brain tissue that are telling us what we see and what we experience. How do we know we're even free at all and not just chemically determined to see and think what we do based upon the random chemicals that are in our mind? All of these questions have to be answered. And if our ultimate authority of the atheist is humanity itself, it can't answer these questions. Looking at logic, how does logic come into existence out of a random chaotic universe? The laws of logic are immaterial. So how could they have evolved out of a material universe? The laws of logic are abstract. They don't project themselves out into space. The laws of logic are constant. They're always in effect. So how does matter and motion account for the laws of logic that govern every person's thought process? This needs to be answered. It goes back to ultimate authority. And if ultimate authority is humanity itself, these can't get answered. So based upon an atheist's ultimate authority, how can any conclusion they make be trustworthy? If all we consist of is matter and chemicals in motion, we can't. What authority do they rely upon to come to any conclusion at all about life? The answer is themselves, without any external justification. Now, I'm not saying an atheist can't be moral. I'm not saying an atheist can't be logical. I'm not saying an atheist can't do good science. They can. What they can't account for is why they're able to do it, and they cannot justify why they're able to do it. So mixed in with all of these issues that an atheist face, how can human reason and experience be trusted at all when all human beings suffer from the following? And if you have the form in front of you, you can see all of these here listed. Every human being at some time is delusional, illusional. Every human being has personal bias and opinion. Every human being is fallible. They make mistakes. Every human being suffers from ignorance, meaning there's always something we don't know. We misinterpret things. We make false assumptions. We're dishonest. We're corrupt. We cheat. We suffer from misinformation. We suffer from having limited information. We suffer from having limitations of our cognitive ability. We're influenced by groupthink and peer pressure. We all have political agendas. We all have personal agendas. We all want to gain money. And in doing so, sometimes we cheat and we falsify information. Other times we start with incorrect presuppositions. Other times we suffer with the fact that we just simply have limited life experience. Most people have a desire for power, which influences their conduct. People have a desire to control. People have an intent to purposely deceive other people to get ahead. And we all have the possibility of being deceived. With all of these flaws within human nature that we all experience, how can we ever fully trust our reason and our experience and our use of logic? How can we ever really be sure that we are moral people doing the right thing? So that's the atheistic worldview, to justify our knowledge, to justify why something is a fact and why something is true. That was the atheistic worldview. Now we're going to take a look at the Christian theist, or the biblical worldview, on the justification of our knowledge. And where we start as Christians, Christian authority is found within God himself. So we start with God because this is where he starts. God never defends his existence. God never attempts to convince anyone of his existence. He himself is the starting point of all things. He cannot start anywhere else but with himself. And we see this in Hebrews 6:13. Says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. So therefore, God is the ultimate authority in the Christian worldview. God is the starting point. God is the presupposition. So how does the Christian determine what is truth and what is fact? How do we justify this? We do this by thinking God's thoughts after him. We don't create truth. We don't determine truth. We discover truth. A fact is a fact because God has created and determined it to be that way. It reflects his very character. So what is the starting point? What is the ultimate authority or the presupposition of the Christian? It's God himself through his inspired word. Jesus said God's word is truth. It's the very foundation of truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. When scripture speaks, God speaks. Jesus said this in Matthew 22:31. He said, now concerning the resurrection of the dead, speaking to the Jews, he says, haven't you read what was spoken to you by God? And he goes on to quote Exodus. So what Jesus is saying here is he's putting God's very voice on par with Scripture. The Apostle Paul also verified this fact in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, where he says, this is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. Jesus himself said Scripture cannot be broken. In John 10:35, Jesus says, the Scriptures cannot be broken. And Jesus himself refuted Satan in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan was tempting him. What was the authority that Jesus used over and over? He says, he quotes, every single time he refutes Satan with Scripture. So Scripture is the Christian foundation. It is the very voice of God speaking. So then how does the Christian account for their existence? Like we were asking the atheist, how do you account for your existence? The atheist will say by evolution. The Christian says by creation, by God's intended design. In Acts 17, we see this in verses 24 through 26, where Paul says, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and their boundaries of where they live. So as the atheist has evolution as their worldview, randomness, irrational, chance, impersonal, material, matter in motion, that is their ultimate authority, or that is their belief as to why they exist. Christians have God through creation. He is the one who creates us. He is in need of nothing. Our life, our breath, everything we have comes from him. From one man, he made every ethnicity over the face of the planet, and he determined their times and their boundaries of which they live. Our faculties of being able to reason, to be able to experience with our senses, and be able to use logic is because we are created in his very image to do these things. So if we are going to use reason, logic, and sensory experience, we have to use this in accordance to how God has designed it and how he determined it, according to the presuppositions that God gives us through his word. So based upon a Christian's ultimate authority, question, how does the Christian account for the existence of reason, experience, and logic? And the answer is reason, experience, and logic exist because we are created in the image of an infinite being who is perfectly rational and logical. So reason and logic are a part of the very character and essence of God. We are created in his image, and we reflect this in our personality. We have the ability to reason and to think logically because God has created us and he has given us these abilities to do this. God is our infinite reference point for all things. So how does a Christian justify? Remember, we asked this question with the atheist. Justify the correlation between these components and how they work together. So our immaterial reason in our mind, how does that correlate with the material universe that we experience with our senses? Remember, reason is immaterial. Experience is based upon the material. How do we justify the connection of the immaterial reason with material experience? And we see this in Genesis chapter 2. God created both our body and the mind. In Genesis 2:7, we read, Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground. So there's our body. And he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. There's our mind. There's our soul. There's the immaterial part of us. And the man became a living being. So we have our material body that we experience through our senses, and we have the immaterial soul or the mind that God breathed in through our nostrils. This is the connection between the two. The atheist has no way of justifying this connection. The Christian does. This is how God has created and designed us. So both the mind and our sensory experience function and work together because this is how God designed us to be. So based upon the Christian's ultimate authority, how does the Christian know they can trust their reason, experience, and their logic? This is the same question we looked at through the atheistic worldview. How can an atheist trust their final conclusion, their reason, their experience, if they're nothing more than cosmic accident, matter, and motion? They can't. So then how does the Christian do this? This is the question we're going to look at. How can any conclusion we make be trustworthy? What authority do we rely upon to come to our conclusion? And a factor we have to bring into this is Christians can be wrong. A Christian is not perfect. Their reason fails. Their experience fails. A lot of times in what we do, we still sin as well. So since the fall in Genesis chapter 3, humanity is no longer perfect in their use of reason, in their use of logic, and in their interpretation of their sensory experience. Even when we were in our state of perfection, we still were completely dependent upon God, even though we could do no wrong. Now that we have done wrong and that sin has corrupted us, how much more do we need to be dependent upon God? So the truth is ever since Genesis 3, ever since the fall of man, every human being is born spiritually dead. We're born into spiritual deadness. Paul says this in Ephesians 2. He says, verses 1 and 2, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." So this is why humanity cannot trust themselves as their ultimate reference points, because we're spiritually dead. We're disconnected from the Creator. Every person born into this world is born in this situation, which is why they need the gospel, which is why they need to be born again. We need to be redeemed. We need to be regenerated. Once an individual has been born again, when the Holy Spirit indwells that person, they pass from death to life. They've been delivered out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God. Illumination has been restored their heart. The heart of stone has been taken out. The heart of flesh has been put in. Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 4:6 when he says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in your hearts to give the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." So God's Spirit, His light, shine in our heart of darkness. He has given us illumination through His indwelling Holy Spirit. We now are restored back into fellowship with God. We now have the ability to spiritually discern what is of God and what is not. Now we can start accurately thinking God's thoughts after Him. We have submitted to Christ. We have bowed the knee to Christ. We have believed in Him as our Savior, and we also believe in Him as our Lord. Now what we're able to do is take our reason and our experience and our logic and filter it through the lens of Scripture. Our interpretation now is based upon what God has stated in His Word. And as Van Til puts it here in his quote, Cornelius Van Til, regarding regeneration, says, "Only the great physician, through his blood atonement on the cross and by the gift of his Holy Spirit, can take those colored glasses off and make you see facts as they are, facts as evidence, as inherently compelled evidence for the existence of God." So why does a believer believe in Christ? Is it because the believer looked at all the evidence, did all the mathematic equations, did everything they possibly could to look at the external and then come to a point where, okay, I believe? No, it's the opposite. A person believes in Christ because the Holy Spirit has regenerated that person's soul. They have passed from death to life. They've been born again. The heart of stone has been taken out. The heart of flesh has been put in. Now they have the spiritual discernment to see. Once they have the spiritual discernment to see, now they start thinking God's thoughts after Him. They've been regenerated. The unregenerate, spiritually dead person cannot do this. They trust in themselves for their own reason. They trust in themselves for their own experience. They trust in themselves for their own logic. They can't account for these things. They can't justify why they have these reasons or these abilities to do these things. They have pushed God outside. They have not allowed the divine foot in the door. They will not have God rule over them. And as a result, we see it in Romans chapter 1. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They didn't give the Creator thanks. Rather, they turned around and worshiped the creation, not the Creator. Therefore, what happens? God gives them over to their lusts and their passions over and over. And the moral decline of the culture is the result. And this is the exact same thing we've been seeing in this world since the Enlightenment after the Reformation, where man by his reason, man by his experience, man by his own ability can stand on his own two feet and make sense of the world without any God at all. And in doing so, in suppressing the very knowledge of God, because he is spiritually dead, because he is an enemy of the faith, wants nothing to do with God, is going to create their own world view outside of God for their existence. So when you start with the irrational, when you start with matter in motion, impersonal time plus chance plus matter, as the reason for your existence, you have no ability, you have no foundation for why you're able to think rationally, for why you can trust your senses, and for why you have the ability to think in logic through experience. You have no justification for these things. So now going back to the Christian, how can a Christian know that what he believes is true? How can a Christian know that a fact is a fact? It's because we're starting to think God's thoughts after him. But we still have the noetic effects of sin. The noetic effects of sin are simply the effects that sin has on our mind, the effect that sin has on our ability to think and reason and to interpret the world around us correctly. Yes, we still sin. Yes, our reason still fails us at times. Yes, we don't properly interpret everything we see and experience. The noetic effects of sin are like battery acid to the soul. It corrodes us. It decays us from within. We're flawed. We're imperfect. We're biased. We are not our own sufficient reference point. So what is needed is humility. What is needed is to bow the knee to Christ and say, Lord, I am not sufficient within myself to understand this world around me. I have to completely check my heart in my mind at your feet and interpret everything I see to the best of my ability with the Holy Spirit indwelling me through your word. So in the end and in concluding, facts are considered fact within the specific theory in which they operate. Biblical facts can only be understood within a biblical paradigm. A human being is only able to interpret the world around them correctly if they are born again and they are thinking God's thoughts after him. Any paradigm outside of the biblical paradigm cannot justify a fact as being true. You may believe it's true, and it may very well be true, but you can't justify why it's true. Because the ultimate authority of the atheist is themselves, either themselves personally, a group consensus, or the elite. It's based upon human reason, based upon human experience, based upon human understanding, which is flawed by spiritual deadness to God and flawed by the noetic effects of sin upon the human soul. So worldviews have different authorities behind them, and the only way to know for sure that something is true and something is factual is if you are starting with the correct starting point, with the correct ultimate authority. And if that ultimate authority is not God, you cannot justify anything in this world. So therefore, in order for a person to be able to justify what they conclude is factual and truth, they must be utilizing it within the correct worldview. They must be thinking God's thoughts after him. Their reason, their sensory experience, and their logic must all line up with how God has created and defined the world. This is what makes a fact true. And this is why absolute truth exists.